via the internet. We were able to see. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then in Luke 24, verse 44, And he said unto them, Christ speaking, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. One of the common things is they always start at Jerusalem. And we know that in Acts chapter 1, we read that this morning in the first hour, that he told them to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. Now go back to Matthew 28, and we'll just take these in order. And I want you to notice some very specific things about this commission. In Matthew chapter 28, and by the way, I think it will become evident that most people that say they're following the Great Commission are not really doing so. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Obviously, that part of the commission we should keep. We should do everything we can to spread the gospel to all nations, all people. But then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, our apostle, the Apostle Paul, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, let me acknowledge before I read this, and for the particular somebody that's fairly new is listening, people always want to throw up to you when we talk about not practicing water baptism, that Paul baptized people. Well, Paul did baptize some people in the early part of his ministry, and he explained in 1 Corinthians 9 why he did so. He said, unto the Jew, he became as a Jew. To those that are under the law, as under the law. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, I want to ask you, could the 12 have made that statement? No, they couldn't have. They were sent to baptize, to preach the gospel, and to baptize. He said, go into all nations and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Baptism, and we'll do a specific message on that, but baptism is, in one way, identification. So they were to be identified with the nation Israel through that baptism. And there's no doubt that it was with water. People debate whether it was immersion or sprinkling. But the fact is, there was water baptism. And back in Matthew chapter 3, Look at Matthew 3. In Matthew 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And he says in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with what? Water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, when Christ told them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, he is simply continuing the ministry that John started all the way back there in Matthew 3. And that ministry included water baptism. Now, not only that, Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So we know that Paul was not operating under the same commission as did the 12. Not only that, look back in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is a picture of kingdom life, if you will. And Jesus Christ is teaching precepts, if you will, for the kingdom in those chapters. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm not going to take time to read all of it, but he addresses the law of Moses. He says in verse 17 of chapter 5, before we go to chapter 6, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever there shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In verse 21, you've heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. Now, if you will just take time to read chapter 5, 6, and 7, you will see that the instructions of Jesus Christ go far beyond the law. He'll say, the law said this, but I say unto you, and what he says is usually more strict in nature than the law itself. For example, in verse 27, you have heard it said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And the instructions continue. You get down to verse, or chapter 6. Notice there in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now what I find interesting is that people that say that they are carrying out the Great Commission, They have saving accounts. They have a 401k. They lay up for themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that because Paul instructs us to do that. But it is not the same teachings of Jesus. And yet Jesus said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So if you can find where the Lord commanded them to do something in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then that's what people should be doing and teaching if they're following the Great Commission. But they don't. They don't follow it. They just pick and choose. People say, well, what's wrong with following the Great Commission? Well, to teach people to observe the teachings of Christ as they relate to the coming kingdom and the 12 causes confusion. That's why we are to rightly divide the word of truth. Our doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is found in Romans through Philemon. And so that part of the Great Commission, we are not to carry out. And those that say they are carrying it out are really not doing so at all. There's numerous other things in relation to prayer, for example, in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Well, Paul himself experienced the fact that he asked for something 3 times and the Lord didn't give it. That promise is not made to you and I. And I'll guarantee you there have been more people disappointed and discouraged over claiming that promise and it not being fulfilled than just about any other one in the Bible. I was taught that as a young man. My dad emphasized that to me several times about different issues. And it caused great concern to me because I thought something was wrong with me because God wasn't giving me what I asked for. Well, today we have the promise that God's grace is sufficient. So, Matthew 28 then speaks to things that we do not do today. Peter, the 12, they followed those instructions. We read in Acts 2:38 this morning. Peter preaches a murder indictment to Israel, and they say, what shall we do? And he says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And so they're following the instructions. Now, go over to Mark chapter 16. In Mark 16, Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, there's something interesting here that people sometimes, I think, overlook. Just hold on here. We'll deal with this idea of every creature because in the other commission, what did it say? Every nation. Here it's every creature, which tells you that creatures make up nations. But in Acts chapter 10, there's an interesting thing. Look in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now notice there in verse, we're going to skip around because of time's sake. Verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey, they're going down to Peter's house, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto them, and it had been a great sheet knit at 4 corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of 4-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or is unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And of course, Peter's doubting about what that means and so forth. And in verse 22, they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into this house, into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Look down in verse 27. "And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together." Now notice the statement. "And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Now, if God had told them to go to every creature, why would Peter initially resist going to a man that was outside of Israel? Well, because in Acts 1, they were given specific instructions to start in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's what they did. And the idea was is that Jerusalem would be converted, and they would go out into the world and carry out this great commission. So that in Mark chapter 16, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth shall be damned." And he said, "You're to preach the gospel to every creature." But there was an order that was to be followed. And that order was outlined in Acts chapter 1. Now, back in Mark chapter 16, notice the statement there in verse 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Again, Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." Now, if baptism was required for salvation, and Paul said, "I thank God I baptized none of you, or some of you," or whatever the statement was, I can't remember right now, that would make no sense if baptism was a requirement for salvation. Here he tells them, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, verse 17 is where, again, people that claim to keep the Great Commission, it kind of goes off the track. There was a lady that attended this church that went to her pastor one time, and before she came here, and she asked him, she said, "We teach verse 15 and 16 very strongly." She went to the Church of Christ. She said, "Why is it that we believe verse 15 and 16 are written to us, but verse 17 and 18 are not?" And her words to me, telling me what he said, was, he said, "That's where you have to rightly divide the word of truth between those verses." Well, Jesus said, in verse 17, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, again, people come back at you and say, "Well, Paul had all those gifts." And yes, he did. He said he had all the gifts of an apostle. And he said he had those to vindicate his authority and his apostleship. But we find that throughout Paul's ministry that something changed. Because it is evident that Paul, in the book of Acts, he healed a man. Later on, Paul apparently did not have the power to heal, as there were those that were accompanying him that were sick. And he told Timothy to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. There are people today that say that they have these signs, and they have these abilities, these gifts. They believe they can cast out devils. They believe they speak with new tongues. They believe they shall take up serpents. They can take up serpents, and some of them do. And some of them die. Somebody was telling me this past weekend about how they had talked to a man that at one time had been a snake handler in the church sense, Pentecostal church. And he said before he got saved and understood right division that he had practiced that snake handling. And he said what they do is, you'll notice they're usually in an ice chest or something like that. And what they don't show you is there's ice in there. And snakes are cold-blooded animals. And when they're cold, they barely move. What happens is sometimes they leave them out a little too long. And they get warm. And they bite people and they die. There was a man over in Newport, Tennessee. Wasn't Sam Gerhart. Years ago, his wife, he said, didn't have enough faith. And so he forcefully drug her to where the snakes were and stuck her hand in a cage with them. And they bit her, and she died. And he went to prison for murder, as well he should. Folks, people need to rightly divide the word of truth and understand there's some things written in this Bible that's not written to them. He said, these signs shall follow them. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You know, it's interesting that they would handle the snakes. And by the way, he didn't just say some of these signs would follow them. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They should take up serpents, they drink any deadly thing, and you rarely see that one put to a test. Like drinking strychnine or something like that. Oh, they'll handle the snake because they've got that one figured out. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we know that people try to practice all of these things, such as casting out devils and demons. That's one of the latest things that I read the other day, where the Roman Catholic Church is starting a real campaign to teach their priests how to cast out devils. Well, they just need to start at the top with the Pope, I guess. That's supposed to be funny too. But think about it, folks. People operating on the basis of things that are written down in the Bible, not written to them, are a danger. Most of you I've told about before, and with those online, maybe you haven't heard, that I was called one day by a man who had attended church here off and on. And he said, Brother Steve, this is so-and-so, and said, I need you to come to my house. I said, what's wrong? He said, there's a lady over here that I know, and she's demon-possessed. And we need to cast out that demon. I said, you called the wrong person. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, number one, I have no idea how you would do that. And number two, if it is possible to do it, and if you're claiming Mark chapter 16, then you would have the same ability to do it as a preacher would, because it says, all that believe. Well, I need you to come over here. I said, no, what you need to do, he told me what was happening. This girl's eyes were rolling back in her head and all this kind of stuff. I said, you need to get her to a doctor as soon as possible. She's probably having seizures. He called me back about a week later and left a voicemail on the voicemail that was very, well, distasteful. And he said that the girl had died. 3 days later. He never took her to the doctor, never encouraged her to go to the doctor. What was going on was exactly what I said was going on. And she died. And he said, the next time I call you, rather than acknowledging what the problem was, he said, you better come, and I mean you better come then. Well, I never responded to that. And this man supposedly believed the word of God rightly divided. Nobody has the power today to cast out a devil. Nobody has the power today to commit an exorcism or perform an exorcism. The only way a devil is going to get cast out today is for a person to get saved. And the Spirit of God enters them, and that Spirit of God cannot habitate the same house of Satan. And there's a lot today that's taught about, you know, and when people talk about these things, they always have a story or something to tell you about somebody they knew or whatever. Folks, I'm going to go with the Scriptures over personal experience. It's just like I heard a man on radio yesterday. He's a longtime Pentecostal preacher, and he was talking about how that the churches had gotten away from the Word of God and the preaching of the cross. This is a Pentecostal preacher. And so I'm thinking, boy, this guy has really changed. He was talking about the big church out in Houston there and how ridiculous that was, and all these churches that had sprung up that was into the feel-good religion and preaching the prosperity gospel. And I couldn't believe what was coming out of my ears, because that's basically what he did for years. And then he listed the tenets of the faith. He said, a true church that you attend that's a true godly church is one that will emphasize, number one, the preaching of the cross. Number two, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues. I said, oh no, he hadn't come as far as I thought. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues. Where does he get that? Misinformation. Doctrine from a different dispensation. That commission, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall be kept. That is not to us. It's not for us. And so we don't follow that. And then, of course, Luke chapter 24. We read that this morning in the first hour. And we do not follow that. He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And Peter preached, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. The gospel of Christ is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. Now, I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That great commission, it included, or it was spoken specifically to the 11. Part of that commission was to baptize those that believe. Part of that commission was to teach that which Jesus Christ taught. And Paul taught what Jesus Christ taught him, but it was by revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There's our ministry, folks. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Paul said back in chapter 4, of verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we've received mercy, we faint not. We have a ministry. The ministry is not speaking in tongues. It's not baptizing people. It's not even getting people to be church members. It's to tell people the good news of the gospel of Christ. It's the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is that word of reconciliation? Christ died for our sins. He paid for all of them. He died for our sins. And we, those that believe, are justified from all things from which they cannot be justified by the law of Moses. And so Paul says, now then, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God reconciled the world unto himself by the death of his Son. Now he calls on us to go out and give people that good news so they, in turn, can be reconciled to God by faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did. That's the ministry we have. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all long suffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The ministry of the church is not to entertain people. It's not to try to build up great numbers, even though we want to see as many people as possible come to the knowledge of the truth. The ministry is to proclaim the truth. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's what our ministry is, folks. Planting and watering. And God gives the increase. We're ambassadors for Christ. You think about an ambassador today. When he goes to another country, what's he there for? Not to represent his own beliefs, even though maybe sometimes they do that. But he's there to represent the beliefs of the United States government. The doctrine, the dogma of the United States government. He's a stranger in a foreign country. But he's there for a purpose. This world is not our home. Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We are ambassadors. One day we're going to be removed from this earth, as all saved people will, caught up together, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But until that time, we have an ambassadorship. It's interesting that Paul said he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He did not quote the Great Commission. He did not say go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them that believe. He did not say those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. He did not say to teach them all things that Christ taught his disciples. He said he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Proclaiming unto a lost and dying world that God Almighty sent His Son to die for the sins of the entire world. And by faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God by that which Christ did. And that's how simple it is. You see, we don't have to go back and know everything that Christ taught His disciples and try to follow that to the T like, sell what you have and, you know, bring it and lay it at the apostles' feet or the preacher's feet is what they really mean. We rightly divide the word of truth. And our ministry is really quite simple. Paul said that God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that is not complicated, folks. It's not easy, but it's simple. And Paul said that his fear was that people would be separated or deceived from the... Well, let me just go over and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. We'll close here. Would to God you could bear with me in my folly, a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear. Now notice what Paul's fear was. And you know the verse. I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In verse 13, he said, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There always has, and there always will be, counterfeits of the truth. We have the truth of God in the Word of God. We're to stand upon that truth. We're to preach that truth. We're ambassadors for Christ. And we have a great ambassadorship proclaiming the greatest message that's ever been known to mankind. How that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. And He was buried. And He was raised again the third day according to Scriptures. And salvation is believing and receiving that truth plus nothing. And any time a person takes away from that gospel or adds to that gospel, then they are perverting the gospel of Christ. And they are not being the ambassador that God desires them to be. The gospel is simple. It's clear. It's plain. And many times it ends up being perverted by well-meaning people who will make a statement like the preaching of the cross or Christ dying for our sins. Now, if you'll invite Jesus into your heart, come forward, repent of your sin, repeat the sinner's prayer, and confess your sins, on and on it goes. It doesn't take a whole lot to pervert the gospel of Christ. Maybe you're somebody that at a young age you made one of those decisions and you walked the aisle and you got baptized. But the question we always have to ask, when did we get saved? When did you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? When did you receive that free gift as it is a gift? If you have, then you're an ambassador. And I guess the next question we need to ask ourselves, what kind of ambassador are we? Are we doing what God desires us to do, or are we just spinning our wheels? We have a ministry. We have a great commission. As a matter of fact, we have a greater commission. And that greater commission is as ambassadors for Christ, and we need to be busy doing what God has called us to do. All right, I appreciate you being here this morning. I didn't see but four people asleep back there. No, I'm just kidding.